Back then, huh?
He's 1 minute late again.
Welcome to the Ramblecast After Dark.
Here it is. A group slightly transformed. Just a little bit of a break from the norm.
No song tonight.
I just now noticed that you copied with your name.
Yeah.
Bungalow. Yeah, cool.
No, Jack, I think he'll be joining us later.
Yes. So
if you're listening to this and you're like, where's the sarcastic tone? Why are these guys so happy?
Where's the random interruptions that make no sense?
They will be talking about Star Wars. Fuck. Oh, I'll just sit back here and just
fucking look Star at the Padres score. Filmed in San Diego.
I did notice on my Jack, though, like, you ever notice, like, on Twitter, whenever the Padres win, he says, great win for my Padres.
My Padres.
So whenever the Padres lose, it's always tough loss for the Padres.
Yeah. Fair weather fan.
Yeah.
Defined.
We should wait until he does join us because there was some Padre action and Jay was there at that game.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's right.
I figured he would want to. Randy, aren't you on vacation?
You can't leave us
seriously.
Alone.
I am.
Quit us, man.
No, Jack is actually moonlighting on the Leftovers rewatch podcast. So if you enjoy Jack and you can't get enough of him, and you love that sweet, sweet sound of Ethan, check out the Leftovers rewatch.
Oh, he does with Ethan.
Yeah, he does that with Ethan.
I feel bad of making fun of it. I like Ethan.
Yeah, no, he's a solid dude. I mean, you know, aside from Matt Treist, he's like one of the two people that knows something in the chat.
It's true.
Deep shade there.
A little bit for the folks who are here who are not either of those two people, you fucking dick. Welcome, gentlemen. It's been shorter because this is actually a Monday recording. We're usually going on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, but I'm a little bitch, and it's my fault. No, I'm actually ass cracking dawn tomorrow morning. We get into the car with the dog, and I'm heading up to middle of nowhere, Maine.
Oh, I heard that is. I have to get up at the butt crack of dawn because I hit a dog with my car. I was like, "What the hell?"
No. With my dog, and I actually had to drop him off. So I got the call today that apparently the campground in which we rented a couple of cabins. So rewind. My wife and kids actually. Wait, what day is it today? Today's Monday. Yeah, today's Monday. So my wife and kids went up to the campground yesterday with my in-laws, and they met up with my wife's cousins and so forth and so on. They're already up there. And the plan was that I was going to pack up in. Oh, hey, Randy's in Maine. Where in Maine are you, Randy? Let me know. I was supposed to pack up the car and head up with the dog. And because our cousins' dogs are there too, but I got the notification today that apparently dogs are not allowed in the cabins, only in the RV park. So
yeah, I can see that.
I have to bring my dog to a dog sitter tomorrow on my way up. So I got to extra early to drop off the dog, and then I got to drive like 3.5 hours, 4 hours north. Oh, you're in Bar Harbor. I'm going to New Harbor. We're actually not too far away from each other, kind of. Not really. Maybe a couple hours. So I'm going to heading up to New Harbor, Maine tomorrow for the rest of the week, which is why we have to record a little bit early this week. So my apologies for breaking the schedule.
Now, in the back of your brain, just a little bit, do you still think you still like a Maine is Massachusetts, and you're like, I'm going to the other Massachusetts.
No. Maine is its own beast altogether. For sure.
It used to be part of Massachusetts, and so that's what
it did at one point, and as was Vermont. No, New Hampshire was too. Part of New Hampshire.
It connected.
But not all of it, but part of it did connect. Randy spent the last two nights in Vermont and New Hampshire. That's nice. Yeah, getting the upper New England feel. It's beautiful up there. It's really nice.
Canada.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, where he is in Acadia, Acadia, Bar Harbor is kind of like, it's kind of Canada-ish. But,
Randy,
so I'm excited.
Randy,
go up there
you
for
can't
a few
even
days.
Spell Tennessee right. What the hell?
Hey, leave him alone. He's on vacation. He doesn't need to put all the S's in there. Did I talk about this on the show? But when I went to Vermont and on a family vacation and our vehicle broke down, did I ever?
You did not.
I don't think so.
So this was a few years back. We went. We were on an East Coast trip from where we live. We had gone up to Niagara Falls, camped out. There's a great campsite just north of Niagara Falls, like right on Lake Ontario there. And really, really nice campground, because when you just want the water, there's like a little nice area that the kids can kind of wade out in, and you see fish and what. You're just like, no.
Yeah, I'm not getting in that water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, from there, after getting the toxic sludge,
went in with two testicles, and I got three. What the hell?
We went across this top part of New York all the way over to Vermont, and we're headed to this other campground, and it's you know, we already checked it out. You know, we were like, okay, this is going to be great. We'd reserved our location, you know, nonstop heading there. On the way there, we basically go up a mountain and the transmission overheats. Mm-hmm. And our van had a little safety valve so that when it overheats, it basically just shits out all of the transmission fluid.
Oh.
On the way down the hill. So we go up this gigantic hill. We come down and we're on the back roads. We're not on the major highway now. We're kind of in the... And so I've basically lost kind of control of the vehicle. I mean, I have control, like, you know, but it's something's not right. We basically have enough life left in that van to get up the next hill to our campsite, and there it was. There it lied. And it was Saturday. We arrived on a Saturday evening. No cell phone reception at all in this campground, because you're basically in bumfuck nowhere.
Do you know where it was? What town?
I don't. I should, because we ended up staying in that town that was about...
So you're saying it was closer to the New York border, or was it further in state?
No, it was in Vermont. Yeah.
So you're probably getting to the presidential range, like over near to Mount Washington, which actually is more in New Hampshire, but...
I think it was probably closer to the east side of Vermont. Mm-hmm. Because I know that when we left Vermont after the vehicle was fixed, we kind of came over and then down that ridge that kind of runs the highway system that runs along Vermont and New Hampshire there. Anyway, needless to say, we arrive on a Saturday, no cell phone reception, not a clue how we're going to get this fixed. The closest town is about a 7-minute drive, 2 miles away. So I could hoof it, right? Which is what I was going to do. Sweetest angel of a man, basically thick Vermont accent.
Could you demonstrate for me?
I could not.
Get in. You need a ride.
I cannot.
Don't want to get in my truck? You look like a little skinny gentleman.
No, he was a really nice guy. He was actually there at the campgrounds with his wife, because it's not just a campgrounds, but it's, you know, you can go on nature hikes around this whole area. And
left the kids back here in the shallow grave. You ought to know something about that, right?
It was a nice campground. And
were you in Keechee?
Woodstock?
I like how you're searching this out here, because
I'm curious, because I mean I know the areas fairly well. I grew up smoking weed and going skiing up there.
I'll have to look. What city and what park that we were staying at, because I honestly can't recall.
Let me know.
But anyway, he was really nice, though, because he basically gave us a vehicle for us to get around. Like, he had an extra vehicle. He let us Vermont. Use it. Seriously, like, the nicest people.
Right there.
His wife went into town and talked to the one bed and, you know, there's a couple bed and breakfasts, because that's all there is. This is the beautiful thing about Vermont. Like, the shitty thing when you're stranded is all you want is, like, the, you know, like, the rental place, and you want the Holiday Inn, But the thing is Vermont doesn't have any of that corporate bullshit,
no.
Which is awesome about it. Like it's kind of like the other side of it.
There are definitely more bed and breakfasts in Vermont than there are gas stations. That's for damn sure.
It totally made sense. I watched Newhart growing up as a kid, and then it was just like, boom. Oh, no wonder. So, his wife basically hooks us up with this, bed and breakfast. Really nice town. We found like a bookstore that had like a vegan, like a vegetarian, like coffee house, like attached to it. It was just like the most pleasant town to be stranded in for a few days.
Did you know you're actually in the background of a murder mystery.
Exactly. It's a Stephen King novel.
We could have been. So he, you know, it's the weekend, so it's Saturday, right? We stayed
on my face when I'm with you.
We actually like stayed at the campground. We had everything we needed. But
get that job.
I think that's what it was, is that he was in a cult town. That's why they gave him the truck. It's because they wanted to bring him in.
If you were there for like 22 kids,
it's perfect.
Like they were getting ready to sacrifice you. You're very close to being like strapped to like a maple tree and getting tapped like you're getting like maple syrup.
They were unfortunate.
I think I just came up with a horror movie.
By the way, there was a Ford dealership near this town.
Yeah, found on road dead. That's actually why you were going to be tapped like a maple tree and your blood was going to spill all over the ground. And that's actually the background setting to the new Stephen King novel. It's going to be called
The RC80.
No, it's going to be something clever. Give me a second. I'm going to come up with a clever name.
Okay. If only we had the name of the town, that would help. Because you know, like half of
it Stephen would be.
Is, yeah, but then it would ruin it because people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go
it's
there.
Gotta be like a, it's gotta be like an undisclosed location.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Pawnee, Indiana. You know, it's like it's not a real thing.
Not a real thing. Yeah,
but it's an amalgamation of all of these cities.
Yeah. I think we can just call it Maple Sugar. That's gonna be the name of the movie. Maple Sugar.
Oh,
because it's gonna have that like unassuming. Title,
misleading. You're gonna get into the movie theater.
You're sitting down.
Flowers.
The opening scene is this family's driving their family sedan through the backwoods mountains of Vermont. They hear a loud ping. And all of a sudden, all their transmission fluid just starts leaking out of their car. They crest over the mountain, and there's no brakes. They glide down into a town. No lights anywhere. If there's one sole light on a mechanic shop, guy comes out. He's got two teeth, just two.
Only wearing overalls. No shirt.
One boot. And he has a set of keys he lends to you to drive. He says, you should go to this bed and breakfast 2.4 miles down the road. It's also listed in kilometers because it's proximity to Canada. So you get down there and you get to this bed and breakfast. You check in.
They only speak French.
That makes sense. But you pull in, you look, and there's all these weird maple trees in the back, and there's all these like pegs and all these maple trees, and the maple trees are red. You can't quite figure out why the bark on these maple trees are red, but you're so tired, you're so exhausted, you want to go in for a good night's sleep. And that's the trailer. That moves into the movie, and then it all unfolds into a crazy maniacal horror story.
So we're going with an H.H. Holmes type thing where like the people inside the bed and breakfast are trying to kill him inside the bed and breakfast, or is it going to be one of those?
No, but the weird thing is that everybody who lives/works at the bed and breakfast, they all look like identical twins. It's weird, but they're not related. That's the thing.
So I'm sharing on the screen now where we were located at here. So we were actually in
Rochester.
Yeah.
Rochester. Mm-hmm.
And we needed to make it down to Stockbridge.
Stockbridge.
This is where the Ford dealership was. But we kind of came across here in 73, and then there's like a campground kind of just very close to Rochester there. And let me tell you, Rochester,
Vermont. Though that's smack dab in the middle of the state.
Well, there you go.
Rochester resides on the outskirts of the Green Mountain National Forest.
Yes, the Green
many
Mountain.
Many people have gone missing.
Blue jean overalls. I like that. That's like one of the
next time you're at the grocery store and you look at on the shelves, you're looking for that grade AA Vermont maple syrup. Make sure you don't take the bottle that's got a little extra red tint. Mm-hmm. Randy says he was in Gorham last night. I've been to Gorham. That's right near Sunday River. Gorham smells like shit. Literal shit. Because Gorham actually has a paper plant in there in town. It smells so fucking bad.
Paper mills smell awful. Yeah. Like people love. Yeah. I think it's funny too. I mean, being a paper salesperson, people come into our store and they're always like, "Oh, do you make these papers here?" And I'm like, if I made this paper, it would smell like shit in here.
The worst smell. It is. And I grew up on, interestingly enough, I grew up on Paper Mill Road. And that was actually, I was there today. Actually, I went to visit my mom. And there was an old paper mill out in the woods on the stream. And we actually used to build our forts all around it. But it's no longer functional. It hasn't been functional for a couple hundred years. But fun fact.
That's what she said.
Paper mills smell like fucking garbage.
Ironically, Nick grew up as a paper boy.
Also was a paper boy.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Play the video game. Never was an extra paper boy.
Yeah. I did that it. I had the canvas bag with the orange strap that would go across my chest, and I'd ride my bike. And unlike the video game, you can't just whip the papers. That's frowned upon. Randy says the smell is exceptionally bad after they kill. I put an exceptionally in there to make it sound a little more spicy, but really bad after they kill the dolphins.
It's true.
Yeah, it's very true.
So true. Just one other thing about this trip, though. Really great people, Vermont. Like, it was the best place to be stranded, and you know, we ended up not being able to get the vehicle fixed. This was the thing. We took it to a Ford dealership and they were like, okay, you could replace this, but the part for this, the only one we can get to you is in Indianapolis. I fucking shit you not. Like, it was just like, what?
Did you buy a car in Vermont?
No. So
that would've been awesome.
They were.
You would have bought the car of the last family that was murdered in Vermont.
Yeah.
They keep recycling that car because that car never actually makes it out of state.
This could relate to the story, though, because
I think we should write a fucking horror movie.
They basically said, like, "Oh, you know, we think that it'll be okay. We think that it's not going to have this issue again. So you should be able to make it the rest of the way on your journey." Now, on this trip, we were planning on going to Maine, but because we had this a fully loaded van that basically just shat out all of its transmission fluid, and let me tell you, I was stopping like every so often, making sure that this thing was not leaking anything.
Out of curiosity, what was the part? Do you recall?
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. And it's been like at least two vehicles since I've had that van. But I will say where we went to next, we went to my stepbrother who lives in Massachusetts. And that was
in Massachusetts?
Oh, some city called Franklin. No, I'm just fucking with you. Oh fuck, where does he live? Well, he used to live there. He doesn't live there now. They moved. I think they moved to Pennsylvania. Or did they move back? No, they moved back to this. Okay, they did move back to Massachusetts, and they're still there. Where the fuck is that? I'll look it up for you.
You should.
But anyway, it was really just kind of one of those, oh, I guess we have another visitor.
There
on
he is.
This show.
Just finished.
You're a rock. What are you, Simon? Paul Simon?
I am an island.
There you go. That was in the episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the Leftovers episode.
Yes.
Oh,
so I didn't have time to change my name, so I just kind of went right into it. I see where Randy, so they were right. Randy left us. Leftovers come over here.
Yeah, Randy.
Well, I would have I would have watched, but typically the right before this we record, I'm usually putting the kids to bed, so it's kind of our.
Hey, no issues. I got no issues.
Well, I'm just letting Ethan know, or anybody else that you know. Like, I'm also not watching The Leftovers right now either. So there's that.
Bastard.
I started watching the Umbrella Academy.
Is it an IV?
Oh, is it good?
I'm on the beginning of the fourth episode of the first season. It's very X-Men-esque.
Yeah, the comics are great.
Yeah, so far I'm gonna keep watching it. To me, it still feels like a very introductory, you know, still right now. Yeah. And then
many episodes were you into?
On the very beginning of the fourth episode of the first season.
Okay. I think that's about where I gave up. Oh. So I started it, I think it was the Umbrella Academy. And for whatever reason, I just stopped. You know how you know, some shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, and then I'm going to go to something else. And so
I do that all the time.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I like messaged you guys earlier today on Hulu. They released today. Chris would love it. I know Matt would too. And probably Jack. Rick Rubin does a 6-episode series with Paul McCartney called McCartney 1-2-3, where they break down a lot of tracks, Beatle tracks, and not just Paul McCartney tracks, but George and John's, you know, and like no Ringo tracks, but they talk about him, but they don't actually isolate any of Ringo's tracks, but it's like that Instagram account that Chris recommended, but it's not as in depth as that, where they go literally track for track. But it's
awesome.
It's a good blend of stories, Beatles stories with the tracks. If you're a diehard Beatle fan, you're not going to get anything new information wise, that story wise. I mean, I knew most of the stories Paul told, but
yippee-ki-yay,
but it was still good. It's, you know, especially like. Because like it's one of the things that I've always loved about Abbey Road is the bass lines that Paul does on Abbey Road, because he's just all over the place. And they go over Something and Come Together. I think of the only two tracks off of Abbey Road they go through. And like it's just things like that. Like, because Paul, I never heard that story of like when John brought in Come Together, because I knew it was based off a Chuck Berry song. But he's like, yeah, like the first time he played it for me, it was just straight up Chuck Berry. Just it was like a much faster rhythm. And he goes, no, I picked up my bass and I went, boom, 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 and just like brought it down like so much, you know, in tempo, and like, and then that's where it kind of developed. And you're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, you know, just,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, did you not know that, Matt? Chris?
I think
no, I'm sorry. Definitely responds to the chat.
Oh, sorry.
But no, I mean, that's I'm really cool. We're listening to you, Nick. Yeah.
I would. I'm actually really interested in seeing that, because I think that shit's in, so interesting to hear, like how things come together.
Yeah.
Which will lead me to one of the shows I watched this past week, which I'll get to a little bit later. But I love seeing the behind the scenes and the kind of like the real story, or the pull the curtain back and see what's actually happening. Stuff's fascinating.
It is. Yeah, and it's good. Like I said, they're only, I think it's six. So there's 6 or 8 episodes. They're only half hour each, so you can knock it out like pretty quick. And actually, when it was over, I was like, "Oh, that's it." I kind of wanted to keep going.
I wanted more. And I see John in the chat said, "Fuck the Padres." I don't know where that came from.
Well, that's just a general statement.
We were talking about you earlier.
Yeah.
So
I believe the term "fair weather fan" was brought up.
It was
by somebody
floated. So you can check the tapes.
That doesn't your team have to be good at one point to be a fair weather fan?
Well, that's actually the question. The scenario in question is the social media presence that you have when your team wins versus when the team loses.
Kind of like the Patriots. How last year?
We're talking about the Padres.
No, but we can talk about how the Patriots last year. How many Patriots fans did you see on social media last year?
Zero. I was there.
Okay. Well, true fans.
Well, we're talking about the Padres and you. Well, so
I've always been there.
This is really about you, Jack. This is an intervention.
This is about you.
I've always been there. With this team right here that never won anything, did I ever?
But we're talking about the Padres.
They don't exist anymore.
You've disavowed them many times. I've heard you.
I've been a Padre fan since day one.
The scenario which we're highlighting was when the Padres win, You frequently are posting things like "My Padres won,"
me,
and then when the Padres lose, the posts sound a little bit more like "The Padres lost," not "My Padres."
Not "My Padres."
I'd like to thank my Padres for making it happen.
The joke it's an inside joke to anyone who's lived in San Diego. There was an announcer called Ted Leitner. Ted Leitner. Well, I'm just saying he always would say when the Padres won, "My Padres." When they lost, he said, as a joke, he would say, "The Padres." Oh, so when I say "My Padres," I'm quoting that.
It was an inside joke all along. I mean, that's a pretty
elaborate. This guy came to San Diego from Philadelphia in the late 70s and just recently retired. I mean, he's been there forever. Did all the Aztec games? He's been.
Now you got Don Orsillo, the man.
Orsillo is the best.
He's the fucking best.
He is fucking amazing. Yeah, I will say that. Even when the Padres were bad, I would tune into the games to listen to him and to watch him, because him and Mark Brandt together are having such a good time in the booth. I mean, they're literally
Don brings that. So like when he was in Boston for a long time, it was Don Orsillo
and Jerry Remy,
and the two of them together were literally the best thing about the games.
Yeah, but you had Boston was winning when he came here.
Well, he was here when Boston was not winning.
Yeah, he talks about that, but at least they were competitive. When he came to San Diego, Padres sucked.
It was kind of like watching Major League.
Yeah, they were terrible. But he made the games fascinating. He's always been fun. And I was going to say the whole thing in Washington that happened the other day, Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching the game, and I'm watching on my computer because I had to watch it illegally because Washington, the Nationals, are in my area where it gets blacked out. Even though I had the MLB package, even when they played in San Diego – my games on this was blacked out.
Yeah.
Because I'm supposed to drive up to Washington to watch the Padres on TV. I love my Padres, but I'm not driving up to watch
them. Well, your son drove up to watch them.
Well, I'm saying on TV.
I mean, some Glatfelters are dedicated fans.
Well, my wife and I talked about it, but I told her, I said, okay, just to give you some heads up, it's going to be July and it's going to be like 95 degrees at that stadium. She can't handle the heat.
Hot as fuck.
I go, are you going to want to sit there? Because we're going to go Saturday and Sunday. I go, you don't want to sit there, especially on Sunday. And that she goes, no. I said, okay. There you go. But so Jay and Colleen and the grandkids went, and they weren't supposed to go on Saturday, but they finished going through the whole, you know, all the different stuff in Washington that you can see. Well, some of it.
Not possible.
Can't see it all. No, it's impossible to see it. So they got $8 seats. I guess you can buy like spend $8 each to get in halfway through the game. I'm like, that's a great deal. Why would you pay $8 to go and watch half a game? I go, I'm gonna pay you. So they were there. So I'm watching the game, and it comes back from commercial. Don Orsillo is talking. He's like going, I can't figure. He goes, because everyone behind home plate, the lower section, the really good seats, we're gone. He goes, I can't figure out why they're all gone. Him and Tony Gwynn Jr., Tony Gwynn's son, was doing the game with Don. And so I'm like going, well, that doesn't make sense. He goes, it's not – because they were talking about the threat of rain and that Padres need to get the lead before the thing. So all of a sudden I go – then they're going, why are there cops on the field? So they're going on and on and on and on and on. Finally, he says, okay, there's been reports of gunfire in the stadium. And so I'm like,
right. I forgot about that.
And so I'm like going, I don't have my phone. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I'm trying to. So they said,
holy shit, well, they were at that game.
Yeah,
they were at that game. And I knew it. So right away, I'm thinking, oh, this is a whole Vegas situation. There's some guy there shooting people. Because you see, next thing you see is people is running for out of the stadium. Like, what the fuck is going on? So I go to get, I go, oh, fuck, I don't have my phone. My phone's upstairs. So I go to my wife who has headphones. I go, and she's like, well, what? I go, give me your phone. And then right away, Don Orsillo comes on and says, sorry, we have to break away. The cameraman and everyone else is running for safety. So it goes blank. I go, are you fucking kidding me? So I'm like, I go, give me. She goes, what? I go, give me your phone. So we're trying to call you know, we're texting Jay, and they don't know what's going on. Yeah. They got a message saying you have to stay in your seats, but I'm seeing what I saw was people just running, just bolting out of the stadium. So I'm like going, okay. So I was on Twitter trying to figure everything out. Long story short, Jay finally FaceTimed us, and then we told him what was going on, and then everything going on. But it was just my wife goes, I've never seen you freak out like that. I go, because I'm watching the game, and they're telling, and Estella was being very calm. They both were trying to figure out.
You were
out.
Concerned for the Padres, weren't you?
I was. And hats off to Tony. Not Tony Gwynn.
Fernando Tatis. They were his Padres at that moment.
My Padres. Padres.
Yeah, he was worried about his Padres. My Padres
were winning. But Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, who people hate, and Will Myers all ran over to where the fans were, because the police had locked the gates getting down to the – they went and got them out and directed the fans into the Padres dugout, into the – so they were actually helping fans get into – I mean, it turned out they didn't need to do that.
Right.
But they went into the thing. So they, you know, they were heroes at the time because nobody knew. But it's like trying to go – then I went to Twitter and I was getting information on that, about what was going on. I was reeling it to Jay.
Wild.
I said, yeah, to stay in your seats because the shooting's coming from outside the stadium.
Yeah.
And then you can actually hear on a video, I did a video on my YouTube channel where you actually hear the shots as they're just about ready to go to commercial break. If you've never been to Nationals ballpark, it's open. I mean, especially with that one where left field and left center, it's really open. So it's like the streets, you know, surrounding streets right there, so you can hear anything going on out there. You could hear the gunfire, and I think what happened was someone said it's coming from inside the stadium, and it's all it took to start a stampede of people just, you know, you can understand with all the violence going in the world.
So I admittedly, so this is kind of fucking terrible to say out loud, and I think it's just because of the nature of the society in which we live in now. I think I got a notification on my phone saying there was someone who was shot outside of Nationals Park, and I actually kind of dismissed it, which is fucking sad, but it's crazy. Like, so I was never truly connected to how everything rolled out. So I'm hearing this first from you.
Like I said, I would have had the same probably reaction.
Yeah.
If I wasn't watching the game.
And so what was the premise of everything? Like what
happened was one car drove by another car and there was a drive-by. And I think four people got shot. One person was just standing out. She was actually at the game, I guess. She was standing outside the stadium and she got hit by a stray bullet. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't seriously injured, but like three other people were shot, you know, in this whole thing, and you hear boom, 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 because it is a bad area. There's a lot of gang violence in that area. There's a lot of stuff because people are saying, I hear gunshots all the time, but I guess it was so close that someone's from inside started saying it came from inside.
So not to minimize it, because it's not any more or less important, but was the dispute have anything to do with patrons of the game, or was it a completely separate thing that just happened
it was someone was trying to shoot a Giants fan.
Oh, it was.
They're so obnoxious. No, I'm kidding.
That was awful.
But wow. So it was completely separate from the actual event.
I don't know if it was gang violence. I don't know. It was a drive-by shooting where someone just opened up shooting at someone, and again, panic set in, because if you turn on the news, there's shootings every day now. I mean, it's just like boom, boom, boom. It's just it's one right after another. But like you said, if I had not been watching the game and did not have family at the game, and I had people I follow on Twitter were tweeting, I go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And they did it. They said, they just kind of, they said, Jay and Colleen said, we were so high up. And like I said, I wasn't worried so much about.
Yeah, they were high.
Yeah. I wasn't so much worried about Jay and Colleen. I was more worried about, because when I saw the people rushing and
kids, were worried about Maggie.
Yeah, Maggie, who's there.
Oh, Maggie was there too.
Maggie was there too. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if she was there or Sunday.
Okay. I saw there was a picture of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's why there was other people that that listened to us that were there. And I was like, oh my God. But it's when they shut off. Yeah, when they stop broadcast, I go, how can you fucking do this? But, you know, after I calmed down, I said, all right, the camera people got to be safe. And, you know, and people are like saying, well, people panicked. They caused it. Well, yes, but you can understand. Well, you can understand it when you know you have things like Vegas and you have people.
Yeah, it's just fight or flight. I would have done the same fucking thing.
Because it was so weird when you saw the shot behind home plate when they came back and Don Arcelo goes, why are they all gone? He goes, there's not a single person left because you know the expensive seats, the padded seats. You said not one person was. It's like they got the rich people out.
First, right?
There was like the Titanic. He goes. There is nobody there. Nobody is sitting there, and they showed it. And he goes, it's not raining. And then they start showing other people, you know, jumping in over. People.
It's kind of like the Nationals crowd from like 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. My Nationals.
My Nets. So I just want to. Chris brings up knowing Jay's background because I mean he has experienced. A gun shooting before. I mean,
that was my wife's thought because, you know, when his school was shot up, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, nine people were injured, two people were killed.
What?
You didn't know this?
Yeah, you know.
Jay was at Santana High, and it's funny because my wife was giving him a lecture about his grades, and I used to drive him in the morning to school, and she's going, I don't know. I go, he's got to get to school. All right. You can tell him this afterwards. He's going to be late. I drive him there, drop him off. I come back, and 10 minutes later, my sister calls that, was there a bomb or something at Santana? I go, what? I go, no, nothing's going on at Santana. I was just there. I just dropped him off. Well, that's when, like 2 minutes later, after I drove away, that's when the kids started shooting. So, and we had to wait like an hour, I think, before my wife goes, go down there, go down. I go, I've tried. They got it blocked off. The police will not let me in. I keep saying, they go, they don't care. You're going to have to wait. But then Jay snuck out and came home. So that was like an hour stressing. So, but luckily he FaceTimed us right away on this one. So we didn't have cell phones back then. He didn't, or that we had them, but he didn't have them. But yeah, so this has been, you know, obviously gun violence is what it is nowadays, but it was, she goes, you freaked out more than I did. I go, yeah, because I didn't have my phone.
It's my Padres, babe.
Yeah, my Padres, and we're winning. I said, well, do we get the win? That was my biggest concern.
That's one of those moments, though, where, like, I get it from your point of view, like, as in, like, yeah, like, something's happened to my son. I want to know what the hell's going on. But then grandkids. It's like, if I'm actually – yeah,
let's not go crazy, yeah. My grandkids. Okay,
yeah. But it's like, it's one of those moments, too, like, if I'm actually in a serious situation like that where I'm trying to, like, duck or, you know, hide, I'm like, fuck you, Dad, where are you going? Right now, like,
yeah, stop fucking. Don't. They're gonna know where I am.
When I texted him the first time, I said, "What is going on? What is going on there?" And he goes, "We don't know. We're asking. We want to know from you what's going on." I go, "They stopped the broadcast." But the last thing Arcelo said was, "There's been reports of gunfire in the stadium." I'm like, "Going, what the fuck?" And then people, on, you know, of course, on Twitter, everyone's giving all misinformation. You know, you're like going, okay, what's true? What's not true? What's true? Not true? And slowly, then Jay texts us, and I said, okay, just stay where you're at because they're saying the gunfire is outside the stadium. And literally, there was no one, there's hardly anybody left in the stadium because everybody ran toward. In fact, when you see the people running, I go, they were actually running towards where the fire shooting was taking place.
Oh, wow. So, well, I mean, it's such a big place. I mean, if you hear there's shooting or, you know, it's panic that, you know, would ensue. You know, you don't know where it's at. You don't know where
say someone has a gun up at where Jay was sitting. You're a sitting duck. I mean, but even,
you know, not to dismiss that it was just a drive-by, but, you know, there was a gunman that was, like, arrested in Chicago.
Yeah.
He had, you know, sniper plans, you know, in a hotel, and they...
You talking about Colorado?
No, this was in Chicago.
Well, for the All-Star game, they
No. I'm talking about like 4th of July in Chicago. Yeah. There was a gunman that had a hotel room that was up high, and he had ammo there and basically an arsenal to that was going to look out over a kind of a major section for the 4th of July. And they thwarted it. They captured
You're talking about Tombstone.
What?
Chicago, Tombstone.
No, but I'm, you know, I just want to point out that Jack is making jokes because that's how he deals with anxiety, and that's how I would.
But you heard about the All-Star game.
When the All-Star game happens, though, Jack? It happens during the All-Star break for commercial.
Yeah. Classic All-Star commercial break.
Yes.
But you guys didn't hear about the All-Star game.
Maple syrup.
No. Go ahead. Inform us.
In Colorado, some maid was doing some room, and she noticed a large amount of weapons of this place overlooking Coors Field. And she reported it, so the FBI came, and they arrested four people who had tons of ammo, tons of things, and they were planning on it. So they hasn't come out what they were planning, but put two and two together that they were probably going to be opening fire on the people going to the All-Star game. It's almost like they're going to have to put up bulletproof glass on hotel windows, and you can't open up the hotel windows to get anything that's facing where people are walking. I mean,
there goes your hotel skyrise. Or the cost of being in there. I mean,
you're going to have to. What can you do? I mean, a lot of these shootings are not getting to the whole gun control debate, but a lot of these shootings.
I was going to say, what can you do? I'll get some pennies in a bunch. You pass fucking common sense gun control laws, and it solves a lot of it.
It would solve some of it, but a lot of these guns that are, you see all these shootings are from people with guns illegally. They like this one in Washington. I'm sure
shouldn't have them.
You know,
how do you get guns out of people that are
even that argument aside, like just that, you know, just pushing that aside. Yeah, I was talking to my brother who's ex-Marine, did two tours in Iraq, total gun advocate, right? And he's just like, look, like, you know, there should be some things in place. Like, you have to take a class. You have to figure out like how not to shoot yourself with this thing, right?
Yeah,
there should be, you know, just like anything else. And even he can understand that, like, there needs to be some kind of steps.
I agree 100%. Like I said,
Separate thing from the aspect that, like, yes, the bad guys will get the guns, right? Like that is a thing.
But you put up as many legal and like legitimate barriers, if you will, then barriers are a good thing. Regulations and certain things are for certain things are a very good thing. Like, there's a reason why you have to take a test to get to be able to drive a car. There's a reason why you have to have background checks when you go into a job. There's a reason why there in certain jobs you have to have a background check done. Why the fuck do you not have to have a standard in which you should have all of these things happen to be able to have possession of something that you can actually point and kill somebody with? It's simple. I'm not saying don't take the guns away. Just make sure the people that are getting them legally are all going through a standardized process that's going to allow us to minimize the fucking possible risk of this shit happening. Is it going to eliminate it? No, it's not. But it's going to minimize the fuck out of it.
I agree 100%. I think there should be all this stuff. The problem is, the criminals are the ones. Unfortunately, the criminals are the ones doing most of the shooting.
True,
but even your you know, person that's going to like turn to a gun in order to solve a domestic violence issue, right?
I agree.
Like, I mean, to say like, well, we can't do anything because bad people are going to get them. Like,
well,
to be something in place that like at least curb some of this. Like
the kid that shot up Jay's school, his dad had a collection of guns. They lived in an apartment, had a collection, I think 9 or 10 guns in a glass case, wasn't locked, and all the ammo. So that's where the kid got
father should be in jail.
I said the same thing. I said, okay, if someone takes my gun and is underage and
in
takes
jail.
Then I should be responsible.
Mandatory
that,
jail.
That gun should be locked. I'm responsible for that gun.
100%.
I don't understand. And that's still, I don't think, I don't know. Is it a law? Is some? I guess you can't be charged with it, or you can be sued anyway. But I'm like going.
You can be civilly sued. Yeah.
I said, how do you have guns out in the open? Like, I mean, it's anyone could break into your house. I mean, it's just especially if they know you have the guns. That's an item bad people want to get their hands on, right?
My dad had that. I remember back in the early 90s, he had a case like that. Like, that was really, really common. You had a glass case, and you had a little lock on it. You know, but then we had, like, a exterminator one day come through, you know, spraying for bugs and everything. And then, like, a week later, he broke into our house and stole all the guns. Really? And, and that's how we knew who did it, because, like, he's the only person that would have been in the house. You know, and then, like, sure enough, like, we're like, we think it's this guy. And they went, and they found him. And you're like, yeah.
Wow.
And, and then from that point on, though, like, you know, we bought
him property. He's not around anymore.
He's not. Yeah, we bought. But we bought a proper safe from that point on.
He's been exterminated.
He was exterminated. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you're absolutely. I 100% agree with everything that's been said. Like, as in that, I agree that, like, you know, if I was a father and it's my responsibility to protect my family and protect, you know, things like that. I mean, like, but you shouldn't allow a dangerous weapon like that or any tool. Like, I wouldn't allow a chainsaw near my child either.
Exactly.
You know, and,
well, chainsaw, they got to press the two buttons to get to work.
The founding fathers never mentioned chainsaws, guys. Guys.
Yeah. The founding fathers also fucking mentioned, like, a militia to overthrow the government as to why is the reason for having the goddamn guns.
Wait. Well-regulated. The word regulated is there.
But anyways.
Get the musket.
I know we're all of different like, you know, shades on this.
Smart about it. Like,
I think we all agree that there are certain things that could be done. Unfortunately, it's just.
And you look at these high power fucking rifles and shit. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Now I'm going down a path. I apologize. But like it's just fucking like.
What
jewelry for insecure men. That's all it is.
What do you define as high powered, though? Because, like, well, you know.
When you can shoot, like, 30 bullets a minute, a second.
What the fuck do you need that for? There's no target range that can put targets up that fast. Like, get the fuck out of here.
You shoot the same target.
Yeah, I'm making
a joke. You obliterate the target. Like,
it's just stupid. Like, it's fucking stupid.
If the gun was featured in Scarface, probably should be.
When it says, say hello to my little friend,
if you have that to gun pay should be outlawed. US dollars to unlock this gun in Call of Duty, you should not have to fucking have possession of it. Like, if that's a fucking war tool, like, you don't need it.
No one has weapons of war, period, in the country, unless you have a class 3 dealership, which is extremely hard to get.
If you have an automatic weapon,
it's not. No one in this country has an automatic weapon except a class 3 dealer. That's it. You know how hard it is to get that? I only know one person in my entire existence that has one.
I know. I watched a video today of a guy with a road rage thing. This guy got out of his car and had some kind of little tiny machine gun thing. He's shooting up the street trying to kill this guy in a truck. The guy's driving the truck through the. Luckily, nobody got hurt. The guy got arrested.
He took out the fucking apple tree, though.
I think he did, yeah. Did you see the same video?
No, I'm making that up. It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Spraying the bullets. But, like, in my, I think it was in my hometown, or, yeah, it was in my hometown. This is going back maybe like 5 to 10 years ago. There was a gun show. I grew up in Western Massachusetts, where it's definitely
right here.
More on the rural side of the state. And they love their guns out there in Western Mass, but they had some show, right? And they had an Uzi, like a Uzi or a similar automatic submachine gun, right? And why? Don't know, but they had one on display with fucking live ammunition in it. No idea how that fucking happens, but this is a gun show where you can buy shit, right? And some kid from my hometown picked up the gun and went. And went straight up and fucking split his whole head in half.
Oh my god!
Like, held the gun with one hand and pulled the trigger. And went brrr, and just fucking sliced him in half. Like, this is a fucking gun dealer. Like,
we should have put a trigger warning on this episode.
These are the people that fucking sell the guns, right? These are the people who are not going through all this fucking. Well, actually, in Massachusetts, it's got pretty strict background check. But, like, my point is, like, these are the people who have access to the ability. To distribute guns, and this type of shit happens. Like, come on!
Like I said, the video I saw today. This was in a residential area, and this guy's just spraying bullets all over the place. I mean, luckily nobody got hit by the bullet. He's shooting, and the guy in the truck is just hauling ass, trying to get, you know, he doesn't care. Luckily, there was no kid playing out in the street, because he would have run him over. More has to be done, but I don't know.
It's one of the freakiest things with my daughter entering high school that I think about.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's.
I think about it all the time. My daughter's a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I think about it all the time.
Yeah. It's such my a complex. Wife's in school, too.
Yeah.
It's a complex issue, because there's a lot of things that, you know, like, I don't agree with police having military-grade weapons either. And it's one of those things that I wouldn't budge at all with surrendering anything until I know police don't have freaking tanks. And they have fully automatic weapons, whereas we don't. And to me, that's just as scary as some nut job having a fully automatic weapon. Because I just don't, I don't trust police. I don't trust the government, period. You know, I mean, heck,
you never have trusted the government. I
never
have trusted the government.
Never.
But I'm terrified of my kid too, man. And like, and my wife, she works at in a school. Like, the school where my wife is a guidance counselor at is literally 100 yards away from where the shootout was with the marathon bombers. Like, when they end up catching up to him, and they is in one of the suburbs of Boston called Watertown. And like, my wife was part of like this, you know, in post, was part of this whole task force of like trying to make sure all the kids are okay. Because the fucking one of the kids in her class like has bullet holes in his goddamn in his closet. Like, he lived right where the final shootout was with the brothers. Like, it's fucking stupid.
Well, I know with I always joke about when I was a kid, we had duck and cover.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. It, which was, you know,
fucking an explosion going on. I'll get her in your desk. I'll tell
you, those desks that you guys had back in the day might actually be able to withstand a nuclear blast.
Yeah, I'm sure they could.
The ones with the built-in pencil sharpeners and shit.
But it was like once a month we would have those random drills. The sign would go, duck and cover, kids! You know, cover up. Well, now it's, unfortunately, they teach kids how to, if there is a...
barricade the fuck out of the door.
Is how to protect themselves. And I know they suggest kids not get those shoes that, you know, the shoes that light up.
Oh, right.
They say, they tell them not to get those shoes because if they turn off the lights, what are they going to see? They're going to see those shoes. I mean, come on. The kids can't even have shoes that light up because they might be a target.
They can't have their dads call them on their cell phones either.
Just thinking about it, like, I'm sure Matt probably did, Chris didn't, but like,
we it was had, still, the stadium was still lit up.
We had more tornado drills than anything else in my school growing up. I'm sure Matt did too. Chris
we didn't have tornado. I remember doing a similar to duck and cover. I remember getting under my desk back in 86, 7.
Yeah, we had it's raining drills in San Diego. It would start raining. People say, do you know where you have a raincoat? Do you have an umbrella? Okay.
No, I mean, Nick, you're right. It's something that you and I share is all of the tornado drills that you have to go through. And when you're a kid, a tornado is like one of the most terrifying things, too. You know, to like, you know,
more terrifying than a nuclear explosion.
I'm talking about a natural, because it can come up at any moment.
Well, so right? Nuclear explosion, we don't. Yeah.
No. I told you guys a long time ago, like, where I grew up is in the top 10 worst regions of the United States to live in. Because
Tennessee. Yeah.
No, there's the whole New Madrid.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the whole state.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
New Madrid.
Like, basically right where
where
the Missouri Boot Hill, Kentucky, Northwest Tennessee, like that whole area meets in Southern Illinois, where it meets because you have the New Madrid Fault. So if an earthquake happens there, like, you're basically everything from St. Louis all the way down to Memphis is wiped out.
They're fucked.
Tornado Alley, the humidity factor, your obesity and cause of heart attack. Like, basically, if you have any kind of heart condition in that area, your odds of surviving it, a heart attack, are really small because you have to be airlifted anywhere because there's no really great medical services. So like, it's like, it's one of the top, it's like in summer, eight of the top 10 worst places, I think, is where the last time I read about it. But yeah, that's a good old home for you.
I think also like living near Yellowstone and knowing that that's a super volcano, and if it blows, like, you're just, well, I mean, we're all pretty
I'm within the death zone of that if it goes off.
But I think it would be better
bragging.
die immediately, because if the super volcano blows, like, you don't want to be part of the nomadic homeless people trying to, like, live off of human flesh. You know, you don't want to be part of that.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Are you talking about Los Angeles?
Talking about, like, if Yellowstone erupts, the super volcano underneath Yellowstone, it will unleash so much ash.
I'm worried
into
about
the air.
Jellystone.
It'll be like a blackout, like, extinction level event.
It'd be nuts. Well, I mean, when Mount St. Helens erupted on May 21st of 1980.
How the fuck do you know that?
Because on the day of my birth, May 28th of 1980.
I knew it was going to relate.
The ash from that eruption
flew over
the East Coast.
And it touched him on the forehead.
There was ash on my parents' cars. They always tell the story.
You thought you were a Catholic, right?
I was Catholic. until I reached the age of reason. George Carlin. But yeah, there's ash on the cars. They had to, like, clean their cars off because the ash. And they said it was the most ridiculous sunsets the week that I was born because of the ash in the air.
Yeah.
Well, now I know how you.
There's one.
I was an adult.
It's somewhere around the Little Ice Age.
Yeah, you're old.
Somewhere around 1100. Like, there's a volcano that went off. There's a volcano that went off in the South Pacific that dropped it, the amount of ash it put out. It dropped the world's temperature like a full degree Celsius for like 30 years.
That's not Vesuvius? Was that
No. We're not talking about the Italy. There's one in the South Pacific that did. It's roughly the same time.
South Pacific, like, Matt, keep up.
Yeah, but like, I just remember reading about it a long time ago. But you know.
I thought Vesuvius was in the South Pacific.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I thought you were
Keep up, Nick.
No, Vesuvius is in Italy, isn't it?
I think Vesuvius is definitely in Italy.
Yeah, it's in Italy. That's
Vesuvius.
Yeah.
Come on, Matt.
Yeah, it's in the stratovolcano in Italy.
Right near Naples. Yeah.
Come on, Naples.
Well, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, it looks like a big butthole.
The European painters. Well, because
it wasn't 1100.
Because I'm pretty sure Monk, Edvard Look Monk, like the Scream. So if you've ever seen the Scream, the painting The Scream by Edvard Monk, it's like all red and it was inspired by the sunsets seen by.
Oh, really?
I thought it was Vesuvius. So, but I could be wrong.
Vesuvius.
That event happened way before the Scream was painted, though.
Yeah, man.
You see all these people who are doing like these pikes and shit. And, like,
then I'm wrong on all my art facts there. I was inspired by a volcano.
Okay. There was that Norwegian art volcano, like, was it last month or 2 months ago? Where there was
Iceland?
Or Iceland, yeah, where the drone got melted and shit. Like, you see all these people doing all these hikes around these active volcanoes. I was just looking at Mount Vesuvius. There's people who are, like, taking selfies and shit next to the volcano. Like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, you realize that you literally increase your chances of dying in the next 5 minutes by a million.
But how many likes are you getting on Instagram? Come on, man.
As your arm just, like, disintegrates right in front of you.
I'm getting angrier. I'm getting angrier and angrier the older I get.
I got a million likes.
I guess, I mean, technically you could have the same argument because, I mean, I have jumped out of a plane. So, I definitely increased my chances of dying next
time. Did you have a parachute?
I did.
Yeah. That's on
Krakatoa.
My bucket
list. That's the one.
Krakatoa.
Oh, good.
I think it's Krakatoa.
I like my Scream was inspired by the Chargers leaving San Diego.
It was in 1883, and then his painting was 1893. So,
hey, can we take a fork in the road here and go down a different path? Something I wanted to share.
Well, there was one email that kind of relates to just.
That's what I was about to say. We got an email.
Yeah.
Is it from Randy?
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Little. Randy writes in every. He's like an 11-year-old little kid. He listens to our podcast.
When do I have fucking wrinkles next to my eyes? What the shit is this?
We had the guy who used to. Kid used to email. Now he's like 30 years old, but he used to email or he used to call or email every. And Jay would. I go, will you just play his fucking caller's email? Anyway, go ahead.
Randy writes in. Art imitates life. I may be on vacation, but. You can't get rid of me that easily, at least if there is Wi-Fi. Did you hear about the artist that was Baroque?
So he's not in Vermont.
Yeah. I actually, Randy, I have heard this one before. But yeah, did you hear about the artist that was Baroque? He's still, he's
Baroque.
Baroque. As in, period. He stole the Monet to buy Degas to make the Van Gogh. to buy Degas?
I get it, though.
The Monet to buy Degas? Like, I don't know.
You need the money to buy.
Degas.
Sorry, I fucked it up because I actually read how the name is pronounced.
I'm
educated in art.
Apparently not, because I didn't remember the Krakatoa thing.
So. I drive a fucked up van, and then I know art, but I left that van in Vermont.
Randy, I'm gonna tell you. Thumbs up, Randy.
That's an intelligent dad joke. I actually like that one.
Yeah, was,
we got another email too.
Even though Matt fucked it up.
But Chris had something that he specifically that I interrupted him from.
So we get to the email at the end. So
where'd you get all those wrinkles around your eyes,
dude? Seriously, what the fuck? What is this shit? When did that happen? I never had those before.
Yeah, I got it.
When I smile now, like.
God,
it's good.
Damn.
It's a good thing you never smile, Nick.
I know.
Anywho, so I'm just going to talk like this for the rest of the night, so I don't wrinkle up my face.
The lovely
was on Beto. Was on lunch break the other day. I wanted to watch something, so I was kind of just random shit on HBO. I think it was HBO Max, and I came across a documentary, which I think is now been a couple of years in circulation, so it's not new, but. I watched Class Action Park.
Oh, that's
it's
amusement parks, right?
It's a documentary about Action Park. So the crazy thing is, like, I remember as a kid growing up in Western Mass, which we're probably about 2.5-3 hours from New Jersey or New York. We would get the advertising for a lot of these New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, amusement parks.
Hershey Park.
Hershey Park in Pennsylvania. Yeah, so like we would get these advertisements. I would see them on TV as a kid, and I remember vividly being like, I fucking want to go to Action Park. This place looks fucking insane. Fast forward 35 years, place was fucking insane. It's in Vernon, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
So the documentary on HBO Max, I highly recommend. It's a great watch. Go and check it out. It's about how Action Park became. And essentially, the story goes, is a guy who was essentially kicked out of Wall Street and had fuckloads of money, didn't like rules so much, so he created an amusement park that literally had no rules, and it was completely run by, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. And the
rules get sued.
Class Action, right?
Because one of the premises is that there was no insurance companies that would back it.
Right.
So he created his own fake insurance company in insurance. That's actually not even the laugh.
Well, I mean, how do you create your own fake one?
You have to watch the documentary.
He had to have greased some hands. It's a problem.
You got to watch the documentary. It is fucking unbelievable how this actually existed.
Now, isn't this the premise of the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie where like there's an underground? You guys not remember the first movie? You should be old enough to remember that movie. There's all those kids down there underneath the city, and they're all skateboarding and shit.
The hand clan,
the foot.
What's the hand from? Hand is from something.
It's hand foot mouth disease.
No, the hand is from what sci-fi show?
Seinfeld.
No, it was a purple hand, blue hand.
Anyways,
flash forward.
Flash forward?
I think flash forward had a hand, didn't they?
Anyways, Action Park. So this place is fucking insane. Like this super rich dude from Wall Street came in and had all these crazy fucking ideas. That if you were sitting at a boardroom meeting saying, I had this idea to build this ride or this attraction, everybody would be like, fuck you. You're stupid. Sit down and shut up. But he was the guy in charge and he was making the rules and he made it happen. So you had all these creations that nobody in their right fucking mind would ever approve, let alone let actually it be operated in full fashion with public coming in and doing it. But to put everything all together, the place was literally run by a bunch of drunk teenagers.
Nice.
And the stories that have come out of this place that I didn't know about this now, because it was definitely a regional thing, but I saw the ads. I remember as a kid seeing on MTV, Headbangers Ball, they actually featured that in a documentary. They had like a couple segments from Action Park. It looked like the coolest fucking place because it was. It was literally Neverland.
You were sold a drunk teenager.
Yeah, I was. But you got to check it out.
That's a different kind of Neverland.
Well, it reminds me of a sketch on Saturday Night Live with Candace Bergen and Dan Aykroyd where he sells dangerous toys.
Oh, yes.
Like, remember a bag of glass? Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. No.
It's bananas, the shit you that went on. It. And how, like,
kaleidoscope.
But like it goes to like the political influence that the business had on this town and how the town was kind of like looking the other way for all the stuff that was happening because it was bringing in so much money. Like, it is incredible.
Money highly talks. Recommend checking it out. Money talks. Go ahead. I started watching a show on Netflix called Making of a Tyrant.
Mm. Huh.
And it's actually, it gives you the history of all these tyrants, like this one guy who was like a starving artist. And he wasn't a very good artist, you know, but then he had these beliefs and all this stuff. It was Hitler.
And, oh, right. Yeah. And, I was like, where are you going with this starving artist bullshit?
But no, that's what that
they never said. They never really like accepted his work. That's what he was.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, that's why. But it's done in a way where it makes you. This is how you become a tyrant.
Mm.
And this is the playbook on how to become a tyrant. I've gone through Hitler. Idi Amin, Joseph Stalin's, and Saddam Hussein so far. Next is
Gaddafi. Were they all artists?
No, only Hitler, only the worst
one. Oh, okay. Only the worst one.
But it tells them how they gained power, how they maintained their power, how they did this.
I don't know. Idi Amin was pretty awful, too.
Stalin's probably worse than
Hitler. Well, but Hitler gets the...
You were.
Yeah,
Hitler gets no. look at the body count between Stalin and Hitler.
It's millions Stalin. More. Yeah. Millions
yeah,
more.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But they loved him.
Body count. I mean, look at Vader.
Peter Dinklage is the guy from Game of Thrones, right?
Yes.
He does the narration. Yeah. He does the narration, but he's you don't recognize the voice.
Oh.
If it doesn't it's because it's not from Game of Thrones. Anyway, it's excellent. I mean, if you want to learn some more stuff about...
crap.
If you want to learn something about this, it
doesn't... Next up is Matt Sun, the poop artist.
He should have been a poop artist. Matt, who's all about art and creative. Nope, can't paint with
no,
poop.
No, apparently, like, you don't... Like, the shoe is on the other fucking foot I'm now, man.
Smeared on canvas.
You don't know how your grandchildren make art.
I am not an artist.
I
don't have to have that. Mm-hmm. Okay, do whatever you want. I'm an artist. You're an artist. You should allow your kids to be exploring their art, artistic.
Well, you know what? Freedoms. I think you should allow grandchildren
to
use hockey sticks and just smack that shit around.
All it takes is one person, Jack, to say you're an artist, and then you're an artist. One person to buy something.
Then they wish I would die.
I don't think anyone's ever looked at Jack and said, "You know what, Jack?
It's like
fucking artist."
It's like that poster that. Behind your shoulder. All those years you had those posters up, signed by you and Jay up on eBay, like they're going like 15 cents.
We have them on eBay?
Or is it eBay? Or you had them up for sale. I
really?
Remember. Yeah, a long time ago.
Autographed,
yeah, with J&J.
I never signed it.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it.
Me?
Signed autographed posters.
Of J&J.
No, we still, this one right here?
This one there, yeah.
We still have like thousands of things left. We were going to see.
Wow.
It was Jay's idea to sell them at the I don't know if it was thousands. I got them. They're sitting right here. There's probably a stack like this. They're not signed.
I'm gonna go.
No,
out
but I remember is either you or Jay telling me that you guys had put autographed a couple of autographed ones up on eBay or somewhere selling them, and like they would only go for like 15 cents. So the shipping was more than what people would buy it for.
Only thing I can think of, we did it for one of the Autism Speaks things, but I
It was for
the people.
Well, because I'm not a restricted person like you, but I did trade these a couple of these posters for tickets to the Nationals games about 10, 11 years ago. My first time I went to a Nationals game, Pottery game, I traded those for the deal. Yeah, exactly. Over 15 cents. I have no idea.
And now you can get tickets for $8.
It all works out in the end. Master plan.
Anyway, you sound like Don Arcelo there laughing. He has the best laugh, too.
He does, and it lasts at least 2 to 3 innings.
Yeah,
no way around it.
Yeah, him and Mud Grant will talk about stuff that has nothing to do with the game, and you'll sit there and listen because you enjoy it. Because when my Padres win,
well, when he used to do it with Jerry Remy, I mean, like literally, actually has lung cancer, which is sad, and it's actually taken him out of a couple of seasons. But like when you get Jerry Remy laughing with Don Arcelo laughing, it's literally just a wheeze fest for 3 innings.
Well, Don Arcelo and Mark Grant are going to walk from Alpine, which is about 30 miles away from downtown San Diego. Because when the Padres were playing the Nationals and they were down by 8-0 against Matt Scherzer, they said, okay, if we come back and win this game, I'll walk from Alpine to San Diego. Well, the Padres came back and won the game. So now they're actually going to do it.
That's awesome.
And they're doing it for obviously charity and stuff like this. People are going to join him. So, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I can't believe we got him. Yeah. I can't believe the Red Sox let him go. He's fantastic.
It's one of the worst deals. I mean, it's literally one of the worst deals in Red Sox history. Like, and it does not do with the player.
Like, worse than Babe Ruth?
No. Miami Mike says no more. I actually read that as no more Padres talk. That's how I'm going to read it. But another show I actually watched. I watched it today.
Anyone listening?
This is what we got. We got shit done in the first.
I'll sign it for you and send it to you for free.
But first, you have to email. Only
if you include the frame.
You have to give us a review on iTunes. Yes.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not remounting that shit.
There you go.
So another show. It was also another documentary series that's been on Netflix for a bit, but I guess I never really caught it. But it was called The Movies That Made Us. I don't know if you
It's coming back around.
I think Dennis had posted something about that recently.
Oh, did he? It's coming back around for another season, but there's currently, I believe it's they have 4 episodes. So I think it's Dirty Dancing, Home Alone, Die Hard, and Ghostbusters are the 4 movies. I think you can watch the documentaries on how everything went down when those movies are being made. So this is kind of tying back to seeing how things, you know, pulling the curtain back and seeing how things are made and whatever. But I watched the Home Alone documentary, and that was fucking fascinating. I don't know if you guys knew about there's a really cool backstory to Home Alone and how it almost didn't get made, and how it had some significant casting direction changes to its clandestine
doing over there.
Its clandestine plan to get funding from the movie, studio.
Cabal.
The studio that cut funding on it, and how this is a fun fact: the entire inside set of the McAllister house was built inside the gymnasium of the high school that they filmed the Breakfast Club in.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh.
Like, so John Hughes hated filming in Hollywood. He always wanted to film in Chicago. So that high school, it was actually an abandoned high school after the filming of those other movies. So it was literally the same high school that Breakfast Club was filmed in. It housed the entire studio from all the different offices, the sets, and everything.
Do you have any new DSS
to see it?
I don't.
But anyway,
yeah, I always love like. With Ferris Bueller's Day Off was such a big movie for us.
Same high school.
Yeah.
My wife hates that movie.
But like, it's funny, as you get older, like I've said, I've heard so many people as they get older now go, like, I really find myself sympathizing with Rooney now, like, you know, with the principal. And they're like, it, you know, and they actually make a joke about it. They actually make a joke. They actually make a joke about it in New Girl, saying, like, it should be called The Day Rooney Tried to Do His Job.
They're not wrong, but again, I don't ever remember rooting for Rooney.
No.
But it, you know, because Ferris was, he just wanted the day off. I think the principal went a little overboard.
And we talked about the conspiracy about that movie. About
I told you about it.
Yeah, you did. Was it you that told me about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in what's his name's head.
Yeah, it's in Cameron's head.
Yeah. It totally makes sense to do.
When Cameron was in Egypt's land.
Let my Cameron go.
Yeah, he was 29 when the film was made.
True.
Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense, you know, that he has like a split personality, and you know, he's really Ferris to everyone else, but he's Cameron to himself. And you know, and Mia, whatever her name is, the girl.
Mia, the girl.
That's his real girlfriend in real life, and she just sees him as Ferris, you know, because like in the scene when they're, especially in the end when they're on the,
I don't see her and Cameron together.
I don't either, but like when you look at the float scene, you know, he's projecting himself up there singing Twist and Shout, and you see him and the girl holding hands like they're a couple in the crowd. You know, like, so it's like a lot of stuff that it makes total sense if you choose to view it that way. It's a weird.
So cool.
Yeah. I don't think it was intentionally written that way. It just kind of works that way.
Cameron wasn't justified. Played a dentist.
He's also in Speed.
Yes.
He's in a lot of stuff.
He's a guy who was afraid to cross the little road, the little wooden thing panel they had there.
He's been in a ton of TV shows too.
He's in Twister.
He's in Secession.
Yeah, Fold the Mask.
He's in Secession.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's the older brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Sherry, are you coming to the get together?
Because he's asking that because he wants to save on the shipping because it costs more.
I'd have to get a tube.
You know, I used to work at a mailbox, no, etc.
I'd have to go out to the post office. Like, that's the main thing.
She's going to be there.
So all right, you can. You know what? I'm gonna bring them all there and just leave them there.
I think you should. Okay. Before I forget, did you guys finish Loki?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh yes.
I did not. Go ahead and talk, though.
It's okay, good.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just removed Jack jokingly. So
I don't care.
I like Loki. I mean, some people think that WandaVision is still the best of the three that's been released. I think Loki's the best of the three. The only thing I was disappointed with.
I'm now with you on that, Nick. By the way, I agree.
Loki. Yeah. The only thing I was slightly disappointed with Loki's ending was that it kind of had the Matrix Reloaded ending, and that like you get to
you totally get to the
finale, and you're just getting a throw up of information for the last thing, and you're like, you could have written this a little bit better, you know, but it's still good. I mean, it still had the reveal you wanted it to have. You know, I'll give Matt had total credit. He had a really good idea that it should have been another Loki. I think was Matt.
Oh, me. Idea. You're talking about me, not another Matt. I thought you were talking about Matt variant.
No.
Matt Treese.
Yeah, it was a variant of Matt. He had an idea that it should be a Loki. Because I had thought that too. It's like, it's going to be someone at the end who created the TVA because it makes sense if it would have been another Loki. Like, I finally, the evil variant Loki got everything he ever wanted and then created this agency to keep the timeline to where he's always in power.
Well, and we learned that, like, you know, the one dude.
Did you see somebody posted like where they think they actually tied that into another movie? I don't know what movie it is, but it's with Ben Stiller, and
it's either
Dodgeball.
That'd be Rushmore, or I'm never.
There's a scene in the movie. I can't remember what it was, but
the two of them
are having a video conference call, like on a Zoom call or something, or maybe it was a FaceTime or whatever it might have been. I have no idea, but it's and it's Owen Wilson is sitting there on the beach with a bunch of monks.
That's what you guys are doing, Owen Wilson. Okay,
we're trying.
Wow. He's sitting there on the beach with a bunch of monks, and he's like, "Okay, go fire it up for me." And he's gonna go jet skiing. He's gonna go jet skiing with the monks, and there's always conspiracy theory that that movie's like in the Marvel universe.
Awesome. That's hilarious.
Well, the guy that plays Loki does a great Owen Wilson.
He does.
Yeah. I saw that too.
So also, what was the most recent Thor movie that had
Ragnarok?
What's her name in it? She was in The Professional. Star Wars.
Oh, Natalie Portman.
Thank you.
That would be the last Thor movie she was in would be the second one. The one.
So here's Dark. A screenshot from that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is she? Is it?
I just see a red face with green, and
she's wearing the T-shirt with little.
That's not Miss Minutes. Is completely orange.
Brown. It looks like a red. But it looks like a middle school eraser with half red, half green.
I'm gonna pull up Miss Minutes. But by the way, Miss Minutes.
Miss Minutes.
Has basically 16. Segments.
16, yeah, isn't that weird?
Which is totally strange. So
not when you think about time though, you know, because like it's, you know, Miss Minutes might not be work based off of Earth hours.
Sure, possible. So, I was fine with how it did go. You know, I think I've been through enough Lost that, like, you know, you can have your theories and basically.
I mean, I can see what you're talking about, Chris.
It's that an orange stretch, like an orange slice of orange? Or is it?
It's minutes is around that square.
It's close, yeah. Okay.
Maybe it's a different dimension, Miss Minutes. You know, like it's
a variant of Miss Minutes.
Yeah.
So that would basically erase most of Thor 2, which would be great. I liked the fact that it was very Lostian, and it's funny how it affected my family because, like, my daughter has basically, she is just
Captain Marvel. This series was Lost. Like, she was legitimately lost.
She couldn't quiet her mind because after that ending, she just kept thinking about, like, Sylvie, and she's really locked on to Sylvie as a character. Like, she, which is weird.
Every episode was an ode to Lost. It even had a fucking hatch.
So that leads
this is Loki.
That leads
to a fucking smoke monster.
I remember you guys talking about that.
That
one, they have that, others. They've got they, everything from
did,
Lost.
Did they explain the smoke monster?
Okay.
Yes.
This leads in perfectly to
unlike Lost.
Some more feedback and another email that we got. So I'm going to go ahead and begin to read this, and it'll tie back to what you're talking about, Chris, here. Oh, we get this feedback in. It says, nice segue. Hey, Jack, Nick, Matt, and Boston. I hope you are all...
Just go off in a different area.
I hope you are all doing
well.
Loki,
and all of a sudden you're screaming email.
No. The email ties back in. Oh, you know, just hang in there. You know, this is...
Relax. This is because you weren't first.
I hope you're doing well. I've been meaning to email.
This better be a fucking great email.
What's strange is like some of her like letters are larger than others, so it kind of gives certain emphasis where
it's a Loki opening. It's credits.
I hope you are doing well. I've been meaning to email for weeks, Nick. I totally agree with you. I don't consider myself a millennial, and I was born in 1984. I don't understand the need to name or define generations, but that's just me. I loved Black Widow. It was great to see Scarlett Johansson as the lead in a Marvel movie. I enjoyed the movie. We lost Jack. I enjoyed the movie, but I feel like they should have released the movie earlier. The movie
turns camera off.
Maybe he's having internet. No, device not connected, so maybe he'll come back. I enjoyed the movie, but I feel like they should have released the movie earlier. This movie, where's that at? Should have been released after Civil War. Should have been the first Marvel female superhero movie. I feel like this is Marvel's one
mistake so far. They didn't do it earlier because female superheroes don't sell toys.
Let's just address this. Or do you want to read it? Do you want to read the whole thing or do you want to address this?
Go ahead.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, like I agree that I wish this movie would have been made earlier for sure. Mm-hmm. I almost consider, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched A Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence. It's not that great of a film at all. But I almost, if you work way the way my mind works, I almost consider Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence to be a Black Widow origin movie, because it's kind of the same premise in Black Widow. Have you guys seen Black Widow yet?
No.
Yeah, I have.
Funny
you
story.
You and I both have.
I was actually about, so I'm home by myself, no kids, no wife. And I was sitting there. I'm like,
break out the fleshlight.
Scarlett Johansson on the screen.
Black Widow. I'm going to see Black Widow. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm going to go see. I'm going to get some fucking popcorn. It's going to be sick. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, fuck. The
fleshlight.
So Red Sparrow is kind of the same premise as in, like, because you do see a little bit of in this movie of Black Widow's origins, and that she was taken when she was a little child, you know, and put in this Russian kind of spy academy. And it's kind of the same thing with Red Sparrow, is that this Jennifer Lawrence's character, you know, becomes a Russian spy called Red Sparrow instead of Black Widow. And it's like, if you want to view that movie almost as an origin of Black Widow, and just kind of like, just all you have to do is change a few little details, and you're like, that totally works. And that's kind of how I see this movie, is like the second of like a trilogy or a story of Black Widow.
So wait, what was the first Disney Plus Marvel movie or show?
Well, the first Disney or Marvel female action movie was Captain Marvel.
Yeah. No. I'm going back to her point, saying that whoever wrote this, I haven't got a name yet.
This should have been the first
female lead.
So who was the first female lead movie?
Captain Marvel.
I'm sorry. I'm separating the two. I'm thinking of Disney Plus versus the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I guess. I have tons of female, you know.
She just means like the first, like it's totally first, on Black Widow's shoulders. It's, you know, whereas like you have Ant-Man and Wasp, you know, you have, but she means just a total women.
You had Captain America, you had Thor, you had Iron Man, all of these are Black Panther, you have all of these male leads, but even
with the Natalie Portman one coming out with Thor Love and Thunder, yes, it's going to be about a female Thor, but you know that Thor is going to be in it, so it's not a total female-centric movie.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
What about it from a marketing standpoint? You made the Black Widow life-size. Would that sell better?
Life size.
You know, it's life size. It's the actual. It's Scarlett Johansson's actual size.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about? Would that sell more superheroes?
It probably would.
Are we talking about the same thing here, boss?
It's true.
What are you guys talking about?
Let me get back to this email, because I don't want to derail too much, even though she wrote in to the Ramblecast, this is what we do. Okay. I heard somewhere that, and this gets to my point that I was trying to, I thought of this email. I heard somewhere that the Loki creator is a Lost fan. That series was amazing. If you haven't watched it, watch it. So,
watch Jack? Lost?
No. Loki.
Oh, Loki. Okay.
Yeah. So
I plan on doing it because I like Owen Wilson and I like the guy that, what's the guy's, the Loki guy, what's his name?
Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, yeah, that's it. I can never remember his name. I always see him on.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've seen, my youngest grandson now likes Cars, so the movie Cars, so I watch it every day.
Well, I'm glad you're back for this part, Jack, because the next part says, Jack, you should watch The Princess Bride. I didn't see it until I was in college. One of my roommates in college was obsessed, and I had to watch it. I really loved it.
All right, I'll give it another shot.
Thanks for not spoiling Ragnarok TV show. I was watching one episode a week with friends.
Awesome.
So have any of you seen Ted Lasso? If not, you should watch it on Apple TV.
I recommended it on this show.
Fuck you, Jack.
Talked about it many times.
I've watched the first 9 seasons. You all are going to feel like heels.
There's been 9 seasons of Ted Lasso.
No, but the new season comes out next week.
Yeah, you guys should watch it. If you haven't watched it, catch up.
Okay, I'm going to finish this fucking email.
Right. Well, you know,
he
wrote to the Ramblecast, and that's what we do.
Okay, I've watched the first 9 episodes in about 24 hours.
Of course.
Yeah.
They are only 35 minutes. I decided I wanted to save the last episode for tomorrow. I totally get that. The second season starts on Friday. Thanks for everything, guys. Maggie the fucking magnificent. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Maggie. All right, I will watch the.
That was a fucking great email. So,
and I wanted to bring it back to Loki and the idea of how it tied into Lost.
So I got to watch Princess Bride and
Loki.
Loki. Once I finish
Thomas the Train, you'll get on it.
I've been watching that too. Kim's Convenience. Kim's Convenience. I had like 5 more episodes to go.
Now, Jack, when it comes to the cartoon Cars. I think it's fine. It's healthy for a child to like that. It's a good movie. However, if your nephew starts really sympathizing with Fillmore, then that's when you need
That's his favorite. That's his favorite car.
See?
I did was watching it today for like the 1,000,000th time. And I started thinking, I go, is it really Lightning McQueen's fault that he rips up the town? Spoiler if you haven't seen it. Because he's being chased by the sheriff. He says, oh, good, I can ask him for some help. And then he hears the backfire. He thinks the sheriff is shooting at him. That's what freaks him out, and he goes into the town. So is he technically wrong?
He still did the damage.
But he was being harassed by the cops.
Someone has to pay.
The cop should pay.
You see Fillmore in the upper left corner over there? That's what happens. All natural fuel, man. Respect the classics.
Do I have a point, or am I just reaching?
Huh? I wasn't really paying attention.
He would have pulled.
Oh yeah, what was the
Lightning McQueen? Lightning McQueen would have pulled over and asked for help, but when he started shooting or backfiring, that's when he lost it.
I can't find you.
Anyway,
yeah, man, fucking Lightning McQueen.
Oh wow.
So be like, oh my.
Wow.
Oh wow.
Wow, man.
Now, the point about
Nick and I did this for like an hour after we ended the show last week. I swear.
Wow. How do we get it right?
Wow. How do we? Do I hold my nose and do it? Oh wow!
Well, he does like have a broken nose, right?
Yeah, you got to break your nose twice to get that nasally sound.
It's funny. Wow. It's funny. I always liked Luke more than Owen, but like Owen had the more successful career.
Luke, he was in.
He was in old school.
Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers. Well, they're both Crashers.
And Idiocracy, which was basically like what the last 4 years.
He's also in all of Wes Anderson's movies too.
Yeah, most.
He was in a bad TV show called The Roadies or something like that.
I liked Roadies. It was only one season, but I liked it. It definitely had some stinkers, you know, in there.
Yeah, it just had too many bad episodes.
Yeah,
I think he'd help a brother out, you know. Throw me a bone, man.
What's the best Owen Wilson movie?
I mean,
Owen has to be old school. Owen Wilson?
Luke is in the old
school. I'm sorry. I would say Wedding Crashers for Owen Wilson.
Roll Tide of Moms.
Yeah. Ooh. I like that one.
That's not really an Owen Wilson movie, though. It's like, if you're looking like the Owen Wilson lead.
I mean, yeah, he's not because Owen and Roll 10. You're getting me confused here. Are you talking about Luke or Owen?
Owen.
Yes.
Owen. Best Owen.
You know?
Wow.
Then I would probably say I like Darjeeling Limited a lot, but like it's always on the bottom of.
Isn't it Express?
Darjeeling Limited.
Limited.
Zoolander.
I hate Zoolander. Zoolander sucks.
What? I love it how his friends die when they're like at the gas station.
I cannot hear "Wake Me Up Before You Go Go." "Wake Me Up Before You Go Go." I cannot hear that song.
I stopped watching it. I watched like 25 minutes of it.
It's the same vibe.
It's the best fucking movie. It's so not the best.
You guys like shitty.
I'm an MB Turner.
I think I told Ethan that we're basically a rock paper scissors of culture on this show, right? Like each one of us, like I'm like, that kind of
Zoolander
is
a fucking classic. I say on a weekly, probably 3 to 4 times a week, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills at work. I quote that movie all the time,
and people go, "Oh yeah, that movie sucks."
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
What's this, a school for ants?
They're afraid to tell you because it's you're the boss.
School for ants. And it's got the great cameo with Will Ferrell in it too.
Yes, yes, yeah. It does. Mugatu.
Oh my gosh. Oh, by the way,
files are in the computer.
I want to say thanks though to the listeners.
You know, the two people that are high are laughing at this. The other two that aren't.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Jack?
Yeah, what am I talking about?
You and me, man. You and me, we're just over here.
As Matt goes back to his poppy field.
Poppies, man. It's all about the poppies. Look,
Zoolander's a great flick.
I just want to say thank you, before I forget, to two listeners that were in the chat that suggested Girls 5 Eva on Peacock. I loved that show. That was fun. That was a fun watch. And if for anybody that's seen that show or knows what I'm talking about, check it out. Stick with it past the first episode, you know, pilots are always a little bit, but I think it really starts to gel, and I like the main
starts to gel, man. You pop a couple of those, it's the funniest fucking show you've ever seen.
The main lead, well, actually, like all of them are great, and
yeah,
there's a line in it that just cracks my wife and I up. We say it to each other all the time now. There's a scene where one of the characters says, "That's a lot of wind, babe." It's just so, it's just kind of out of the blue, but.
Let me go get high and then do that scene again, and maybe I'll laugh.
We weren't high, well, maybe one of us was.
That's a lot of wind, babe. I don't get it.
It's good. It's good.
How is that funny?
Well,
I'm asking a serious question.
Okay,
well, my wife canceled Peacock. She said, "We're done. We weren't watching it." I go, "I was."
Well, if you go back to Peacock, check it out.
I am going to go back to Peacock. Yeah. I just haven't done it yet.
Girls 5 Eva, I do highly recommend it.
I did watch The Right Stuff again the other day.
Sorry, I'm laughing because you always rewatch, you know, stuff like Miami Mike points it out. Like right in here, he says, when Jack finally watches The Princess Bride, he'll do a rewatch.
Yeah, because I want to bitch about something once a year. No, but I noticed, you remember The Walking Dead, Herschel, you ever played Herschel, is in mm-hmm. The Right Stuff.
Oh.
Plays Scott Codwell.
Wow.
Plays Scott Codwell.
It's close. It's close.
The guy that I went Mach 2.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what show is this guy? And I go, well, that's Herschel from Walking Dead. Except he had two legs.
This show needs two commercial breaks.
Really? Okay.
Chris is zoned out.
Man, nope, we've reached that point.
I popped too many of them.
Oh, let me. We need to have a pause for a second. Okay.
And where's Zoom?
So before we started podcasting,
are you praying, Chris?
Nope.
He is totally in the.
Are you peeing?
He's in the Magnum zone right now. So before we started podcasting. A couple of the hosts were really thirsty for married life after nightlife. Oh, yeah. And I was talking about.
Oh, yes.
I just got a message from Matt.
And they're asking if I had I met any lady friends lately. And I said, no, not really. I was like, however.
No, Nick, however, I said, are you getting laid?
I was being nice. I was like, so yeah. If you gotten laid lately, would you tell us if you got laid? We really want to know the detail.
And so we're living vicariously through you, Nick.
Like, we married men have to live vicariously through the sexual encounters of bad decisions and bad mistakes.
I will tell you another story that I didn't talk about. So just speaking of getting laid. So if you remember last fall, I went on three dates.
It's a simple yes or no.
I'm not getting laid. but I went on a date with a girl that I told you guys was I thought was a little crazy, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so she contacted me not too long ago. Was like, hey, like there's a place having crawfish. Do you want to go eat crawfish? I was like, sure. Like I'll go out and eat crawfish. And she kind of was like, just I could tell that she was still hung up on me when I got there. But she was like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, she's like, no, we can just be friends with benefits if you want. And I just kind of was like, tempting. I was like, however, I was like, what happens all of a sudden, you know, if we're sleeping around for a month and then I meet someone I want to date? Next thing I know, you're coming at me with a knife. And she kind of was like, yeah, that's probably true. And I was like, yeah, see? So you are crazy.
So did you get the crawfish?
I got the crawfish. I'm not going to turn the crawfish.
Are you talking about the same thing?
No. I'm talking about literal crawfish. He's talking about figurative. Yeah. Anyway, so time for Nick to get the bag up. My house is not that big, but I have a little spare room.
That's what she said.
It was not part of my lease. And my landlord came to me a few months ago. I was like, I'm going to renovate that back room and rent it out to someone who just wants to use that small room for like just a place to sleep.
Is it connected to the house?
It's connected to that, but I cannot access it through my house.
Okay.
So
crawfish girl's coming over?
No.
She's going to
No. This is a different thing, right? Okay.
Yeah. Jack, let him finish the story because I have to go to bed at some point tonight.
So, you know, I had jokingly with my landlord going like, yeah, make sure it's a smoking hot girl, you know, when you rent it out. And so Saturday he rents it out and sure enough, it's, oh, shut up, Jack. yeah, it's a 28 year old woman. And I was like, ooh. Oh, hey, you know, and you know, me, I'm like, hey, like need any help moving in? like trying to be as nice as I can be. But then like,
can I fix the cable?
Yeah. Like, sounds like, yeah.
Exactly. Do you have any copiers that need fixed?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
pizza boy enters the room.
And Chris and I immediately were like, oh, so you have to like listen to porn with headphones.
We didn't get to that part. So, okay. So the way the house is made, it's really weird the way that the layout of the house is, but so we share a wall.
Because you're not quiet right now.
We share a bedroom wall. But so it was like, I've literally like snuck into my bedroom for the last two nights and like tried to make as minimal noise as possible because like that
dad he's talking about guns and cars and stuff.
I got stuff about cars.
He's talking about his dad's gun case.
I don't trust the government.
He's anti-government.
Well, actually,
call the FBI, please. Help me.
He has a disturbing amount of Legos in the window.
He does.
I need to move out of here.
But I was saying like just like so many weird things. But like one of the things is
Nick's only got one scope to check her out in the parking lot. It's a tied to a gun.
His alarm clock is John Williams' symphony.
Got a magnified 10 over here. Look at that. Get you through my crosshairs.
Oh,
she's super
man.
Chill though, but like
I keep hearing stories about his mom wearing a mask.
Oh, does that do it for you?
go ahead. Yeah, tell us more.
No. I was saying to the guys, I was worried because I've lived literally. No one is around me for the last 2 years.
We know his volume went down like six notches after he realized that she can definitely fucking hear
him. She can't hear me. She can't. She can't be able to do that. But it was like normally, you know, when you live by yourself and there's no neighbors around you, like a lot of times, like it's hot. I just wear like boxer shorts and a t-shirt.
You're describing serial killer as you're talking.
But exactly. But like, now I'm like, oh, I got to put on clothes. I don't want to like
kind of thirsty, right? COVID,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, you do. I don't want to be like that stereotypical guy.
I've had my shot.
Hey, how you doing? Like on the porch.
Guns out.
She's definitely right. Getting a post office box, and not having anything delivered to the house.
Yeah, just.
When are you guys going out?
I thought I'd ask her to go to the brewery sometime this week. She actually is really chill and really cool. So
that's a good plan. That's
Because like we have great food trucks, you know, every day. Like this tonight, I had a Philly cheesesteak that was fucking huge.
Food trucks by your house?
Yeah. So all right. So like, I thought I'd mentioned this before. Like, so Colorado.
You serious, Clark?
Fort Collins doesn't have that many bars. It has mostly breweries. It has over 30-something breweries.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
And the thing is about the breweries here, it can't be a bar and grill. So it's just, it has to be just a brewery. So it, so what they do is they get the – Fort Collins has a huge food truck system. And so all the food trucks rotate all around Fort Collins. Awesome. So every night's a different food truck.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, you know, like tonight was Philly cheesesteaks, you know, like, you know, you have a bunch of different taco ones, but, you know, like, there's some that are, like, crab rolls, lobster rolls, and...
back to the crabs.
Yeah.
I would not trust lobster in Colorado.
Do you like crawfish,
babe? I've never eaten that one, but, like, you know, and then, like, you know, you there's, ones, crab, there's, and there's simple rolls. Ones, too. There's, like, corn dogs, you know, like, but, like, they're a different one all the time. So that's nice.
That's wow! That's convenient.
Wow! Well, when you're single and you don't want to cook, it's awesome.
Hey, Peter, no, man. I'm saying,
you know, 34 breast exam.
that's what I was thinking as well.
Big ass beers every week.
Hey, Peter, man,
that's a beer.
Yeah, it's a beer.
Check out the Hooters.
Why does it have a dent in it?
I always dip my cans.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
that. I do that too.
Yeah, I remember you guys talking about that.
We're totally fucked when we party together.
Have we talked about this before?
Yeah. Matt and I geeked out like 2 weeks ago over the fact
I've been doing that since high school.
I've been doing since I was 12 college. Years old.
Yeah, here's my can. I don't know if you can see my
just can. To make sure that no, I know that's mine.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, everyone's doing it, I'm not doing it. I know that's mine.
There you can see my dent
right in front. That's where your thumb goes, and then I know exactly where the mouthpiece is.
I am serious. I've been doing this as well, and it is.
I had never fucking heard of it until you.
I
don't think you were here that week, Chris.
Once you start doing this, you'll never do it any other way. Like I've done.
I don't know how else to drink a can.
Yeah. I think the rest of my family family, they don't do it because I do it. You know, it's like if I didn't do it, I assume my son will or my daughter will.
You have this thing called a Sharpie. You just put your name
on every can. This is. Manufactured your thumb. Iconics. It's just right there.
Carry Sharpies to parties.
But if everyone's doing it,
no.
Okay, then you can do it on the back.
I'm making it.
I probably wouldn't drink anything. I wouldn't drink anything that Matt had.
I've never met somebody else who does that, and now I've been podcasting with two people for the last fucking 12 years that do it. I've never met someone
I've ever known. I mean, now I thought it was just Matt and I. Now you say you do it, so now it's three of us that I know.
That's fucking insane.
I'm gonna start doing it tomorrow.
No, fuck off, Jack. You can't. This is our thing.
No. Well, I'll be
show
honest.
Up late to the show, and that's what you get, man.
I'll be honest.
Let me guess. Is this your can?
No, it's my just can. My can. It always loses.
It's my dent.
I'll tell you this. I usually don't drink beer out of a can. I'm not a beer out of a can guy.
Well, you're a bottle guy?
I'm a bottle guy.
I'm more of a draft guy, but I mean, I'm not going to turn a can away.
Exactly. I'm not a can. I don't
neither
like
will Nick.
Can she hear that?
Anyways. No, not us. Okay, right. So headphones. So earmuffs.
Well, what's your address? I'll send her the link.
what's the house next to you?
It is weird because he put that unit in. Like, mine's the actual address, and that she has like a little.
And hopefully, you'll be putting your unit in.
Is that like a three quarter?
I hope you put a dent in that can.
You might not get to the bottom of it. You sure can fuck up the sides.
I'll stretch out the edges.
Wait, I'm the only one that does that.
I think I hope you put a dent in that can should be the episode title.
Jeez, Will.
Although I was really partial to the one Mike had pointed out.
Oh,
earlier.
My God.
Chris,
are you guys as fun when I'm not high?
No.
If that's true, we need to hang out more often.
It's all about timing. I mean,
I've been drinking water today. That's it.
It looks like a building.
It's like my house. Clear. Yeah.
No, that's a green bottle.
Matt Trista, yes, I will definitely try to check out. We are Lady Parts, is that what it is? Sounds like
that's what
we are Lady Parts. Do.
Yeah, check it out.
Check out those Lady Parts.
Not through the window, though. Not through the window.
Maybe that's something you can do with Dan.
No, I want Nick to find love in Colorado.
I just want him to get laid. Well, that's if he finds love, bonus.
Rocky Mountain High, Colorado.
Rocky Mountain Thigh. Okay, we should end the show at some point because Chris has got to
get right now. Right now's a good time. Anthony
and move to Beverly, but
hey, fine.
From Tennessee.
If you would like to send in emails like Maggie did and Randy does every week, which we do appreciate.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you for the emails.
Yes.
Yes, we appreciated one of the emails today.
I liked both.
Randy, I don't normally say that, but Randy's
I saw Matt's face when he read it. He didn't think it was funny.
I just heard it. But that's okay, Randy.
You actually misread it. You don't think you misheard it.
You've heard the joke and you still fucked it up.
I was reading it as Degas, not Degas. So, you know, it's like you can't take the artist out of the realm or whatever.
Unless they're paint with poop.
Go over to jandjack.com. Click on the patron link, become a patron, help us out by $1, $5, or whatever you can to make
this show possible. We're still looking for that first $1 million donor.
Some patrons make this show possible, and we'd like to thank them now.
You tell us.
I wouldn't know.
I didn't draw a lot on these, but we'll go ahead and good luck with these. So,
take me out of my Padres. Or tack me out of my Padres. Yeah.
Tack me out to my pod. This one's head scratcher because I just couldn't come up with something for
Eckhart it. Leftovers lost Richter Loki remembers.
Well, good. Yeah.
Crawfish
Ed.
I'm shocked you drew that within a matter of minutes. Yeah, I know. I talked about that. Yeah.
Joanne Go. Ooh.
Oh, I like that one.
Nice.
You know, can I say something? They've gotten better since you started doing drawings with them.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, okay. Well, this one actually took me a while, and I was really, really late to the game on some of the other ones. So,
McCartney, Maggie. That last one, I mean, Maggie's awesome, but the drawings sucked.
Yeah. It's like you didn't care.
I spent more time on the Joanne.
Yeah, like you actually clearly care about Joanne more than any of the other
Yes. It's biased.
Yeah. Honestly,
it shows through. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's full Maggie color.
Maggie wrote in an email, a long, lengthy, thought out email.
You couldn't even like fake it, like with actual logo graphics. You actually had to like.
I'm disappointed, Matt. And we wonder why our patrons can't.
Maggie
grow
deserves more.
Yep.
Well, tune in next week, Maggie, when I have
Maggie deserves a signed and autographed final season of Jack.
By the way,
she can have two to make up
actually,
for Matt's.
I did want to say, though,
Matt will cover their postage.
I did want to say, though, if any of the patrons do want any of this artwork, I have been kind of setting this aside with their names on it.
And, I should make it a coffee table book at the end of the year.
I would. It's a calendar.
And sell it for 15 cents.
I don't know if I'll be able to make it to the actual meetup, or else I would just bring them to the meetup.
Oh, you know what? Then I'm not going.
It's on Dolphin
It's a very tight window of time and very expensive tickets to get for a very short period. Like, I can only fly in on Friday and leave Sunday.
What he's saying is he doesn't want to go because Maggie's going to be there.
Yep.
No, I would... Right. Actually, Maggie's, you know, I need Fireball Island Redemption with Maggie. That's the thing. So, all right. This ending has gone on too long.
So she beat you at Fireball, so you gave her a cheap art?
I just went in the Fireball Island game. I want to be in the thick of it, you know, like everybody else. Yeah, that's cool. I like seeing you, but, you know.
God, I hate this song.
Gotta... In the thick of it. All right. In the thick of it. Well, don't sing it then. If you hate it.
Because once he said it, it's now back in my head. I can't get it rid of it.
Join us.
Someone watches TikTok.
Join us next week. we'll have some more things going on. Thank